The online audience, is so good to have you here and blessed that you're with us. And again, like I say, one day in 2021, we will all be back together in the house of the Lord. Come on, amen? Believing that. Super Bowl 55 is happening tonight, so let's get a consensus here. How many Chiefs fans? Buccaneers fans? You don't like either one of them? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought was going to happen there. I can see that coming. All right. We are in a breakthrough series right now, and we've had some incredible messages. My wife spoke a couple weeks ago, started us off actually with the sermon of Keep Going, Keep Pushing. If you have not had a chance to see that message, make sure you go online and check that out. She was reminding us in that message that we are born for this hour, that we have a kingdom role to play in building the kingdom of God, and that she encouraged us to be that second miler. Does everybody remember that part of the message? That was a great part of it. Chuck Gosnell brought a message on Wednesday night talking about refocus, dealing with breakthrough. He walked us through that amazing prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, talking about fighting apathy and that in our breakthrough comes understanding. And then this past Wednesday night, I just real quickly kind of talked about what I've learned about breakthrough, dealing with the tithe. That's not an easy message to preach, but I just want to give you some touch on that, is that when we are faithful to give and trust God with our tithe, we will experience breakthrough in our lives. And let me just say this, he will always take care of us, no matter what. Amen? That's just always going to be there. So this morning I want to talk about changed in an instant. And I want to start with the scripture that's found in Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and it says this. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burning. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And I just want to spend a few moments this morning touching on and encouraging you on your journey to see breakthrough in your life and remind you, guys, everybody here, everybody online, that we serve the Lord of the breakthrough. Amen? This is what I know. Whether we are looking for breakthrough or not, God knows exactly what we need. God knows exactly where we should be. And God knows exactly when our breakthrough is going to happen. Are we thankful this morning that our God knows what he is doing? Come on, give me an amen on that. So today, I want to look at three instances in the Bible. There were many that I could have chosen. But I want to look at Moses, I want to look at Elijah, and I want to look at our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now Moses, dealing with the burning bush, I opened up with this story. Moses is in the desert. He's tending his father-in-law's sheep. He is in the wilderness. This is his life. And Moses isn't really looking for any change. In fact, if you go in, you study this, you go into the commentaries, you go into a lexicon, they are all kind of pointing to the fact that not only has Moses been doing this for 40 plus years, let that sink in just for a second. He's doing the same thing, not looking for any change. And this is just his life, not looking for that next breakthrough. But here's what we read in the scripture. It says this right here, that the angel of the Lord appeared, that the bush was burning, but it was not consumed, and that God called to him from the bush, his name, Moses, Moses. Guys, how many of you know that Moses, when he heard his name coming out of that bush, he knew something was about to change? Something was just about to change. It's not going to be the same anymore. And what I love about the story is how easily it can speak in our own lives and circumstances. I might not be looking for a breakthrough. I might not see the need for change in my life. I might be in this place of feeling like this is just how my life is going to be. But then I might be a person that says, everything is good. I might feel like this is where exactly I am supposed to be. If it's not, though, let me say this. What God has intended for your life, trust me, Breakthrough is coming. It's going to have to be in his will. Everything doesn't always have to be going bad for you to experience breakthrough. Lori has touched on this story a few times throughout the past few months or whatever, but back in 2005, she had gone to a women's conference down in Capitola, California. That is a city that is just a little south of Santa Cruz, right on the ocean. It's a beautiful place. And she was in the conference, and the leader of the conference said, "Ladies, I want you to grab your journals. I want you to go find somewhere and get with God. Let him speak to you." So my wife takes her chair out, plops it right down on the beach. She's got the best view in the world out there ready for God to talk to her. Well, the Lord comes. Listen, and let me say this before I tell you what the Lord said to her. We are happily married. We've got beautiful kids. We attend an amazing church. Our kids are in the top, one of the top 10 or 5 schools in the state. We have an amazing ministry with Israel. All these things are going, she has an amazing job and all this. And here's what the Lord says to her. "I want you to go back to school, major in communication, and prepare for television." How many of you know that my wife is sitting there in this chair understanding that something is about to change? And she has to come back and tell me what the Lord has said. I was not happy with what the Lord had said. I knew right then and there something was about to change. But God's plan was going to require a huge faith move. Lord, listen, everybody, when the Lord speaks to you, it's going to require your faith. It's going to require the best of your faith. But listen to this. You can stay comfortable or you can be in his will. Everybody just kind of receive that. You can stay comfortable or you can be in his will. Moses was far from being forgotten. Moses needed a reminder of who he really was, that God still had a calling on his life. When we cannot see it for ourselves that things need to change, when we have lost the urgency of God's purpose on our lives, when we settle for anything less than God's best for us, God will step in and he's going to get our attention. That's just the way that it works. And I promise you, you will immediately recognize when his presence has changed the atmosphere, when he has changed the landscape that we have become accustomed to. When Jesus comes on the scene, let me just say it this way. He is a planet shaker. It's just the way Jesus is. It's the power that comes in him. In Exodus 3:5, I don't know if you caught this in the scripture we just read, but look at this. "Then he," God, "said to Moses, 'Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.'" Now remember, where is Moses? He's in the desert. He's in the wilderness. He's surrounded by dirty, dusty sheep. He's been doing the same thing for 40 years in the same place. But all of a sudden now, because when the presence of God comes in, he changes the atmosphere. It's no longer wilderness or desert. It is holy ground. Oh, listen, when you come to the church, you guys, listen, this isn't, right here is not just the only place that we consider to be like holy ground. I know it's the altar. I know that that is kind of a sign of faith of coming down and having one-on-one with the Lord. But where you sit, where you drive, where you sleep, that when the presence of God comes in, immediately the atmosphere changes and we're standing on holy ground. Give me an amen. But, you guys, listen to this. When the presence of God comes in, no matter where or what it is, no matter how it looks or how it is perceived by others, when God steps into a room or into an area of your life, breakthrough is coming and there is about to be change. Let me touch real quickly on perception, the perception of others. The perception of others can actually keep us from searching for God the way that we should be. Listen, I'm going to tell you straight up. When God speaks something into your life, I promise you not everybody is going to agree with that word. Okay? It's just the way that this goes. Now listen, you might start feeling, "I'm unworthy." Just because of perception, "I'm not capable," "I'm undeserving," or "I don't belong." But you guys, here it is. Instantly, everybody say instantly. Moses went from a life of shepherding sheep, no purpose, listen to me, no fulfillment, no future, to a destiny of shepherding Israel out of Egypt. God's plan, God's calling, God's purpose. And here it is. You could be this close to your breakthrough and not even know it. This close, and God stands ready to lead us to our next appointment. Let's start looking. Church, Harvest, VA, Harvest Assembly, the congregation of Harvest, listen to me, online. Let's start imagining beyond what is now. Let's start getting uncomfortable with not seeing breakthrough in our lives. It should bother us if we go a year, if we go a month, and we're not experiencing some change in our lives. We serve the most creative, only true God in the universe. And he can constantly be shaping us to be a better tool for his hand. Amen? This is what the Word of God says about us. Don't worry about what the perception is. Whatever the world is going to throw away. What does the Word of God say? We are more than conquerors. We are his workmanship. We are a new creation. We are children of God. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We are the light of the world. We are citizens of heaven. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember that one? Maybe not. We are entrusted, called, chosen, and I love this one. We are his. Come on, give me an amen. Put it out there. We are his. And this is what the scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal that the Lord knows who are his. You are destined to see breakthrough in your life. Now we're with Elijah. Elijah in the cloud. We had Moses in the bush, and we have Elijah in the cloud. 1 Kings 18:41 through 45 says this. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up. Eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. Now, guys, if you know this passage or the chapter, Elijah has just wiped out the prophets of Baal. It has been one of the most miraculous signs of who is God. Okay, so he has just got done with this whole thing. He's moving into this new area, but he has said this. He says this to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the rushing of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And at the seventh time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with the clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Elijah is looking for change. Moses might not have been looking for it. God still came, even though he wasn't looking. But Elijah is looking for change. So much so that he declares in the beginning of the scripture. You guys, bring that scripture right back to the first part. Look at this. And it says, he says, go up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of... He's already proclaiming it. Elijah's already put it out there. He knows God's about to show up. So he is proclaiming this. We need to start proclaiming things for our lives in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. Here's what we got out of the scripture. Go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of rushing rain. We know that Elijah bowed himself to the earth, put his face between his knees, said, go again seven times. A cloud like a man's hand was rising from the sea, and the heavens grew black and clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Elijah, full of faith, goes directly to God, praying and anticipating God's breakthrough for the land of Israel. You have to remember this too also. There was a great famine. There was no rain. It was bad. It was a dry, dry season for the land of Israel. But here's the thing about God's timing. You guys ready for this? It's perfect. It's never late, and it is not based on man's time. Why did it take seven times? I've heard pastors preach this message, and they all say, well, seven is the number of perfection and it's true. But why did it take seven times? We serve the God that he could have gone the first time and seen that cloud rise. You know what I mean? The second time, the third time, but it took seven. Why has it been 6 months that you've been praying and the breakthrough still hasn't happened? Why has it been 10 years, like for my wife and I, praying for something to happen, and it still hasn't happened? Here, let's look at these scriptures, and we're going to talk about this real quickly. Genesis 24:25 talks about that Abraham's servant was praying for God to clearly and specifically show him a wife for Isaac. And the Bible says that before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out. So while he's praying, God has already moved. Here's another one. Matthew 8:2. The leper said, if Jesus was willing, he can make him clean. And Jesus was willing. And the leprosy was cleansed, what does it say? Immediately. Matthew 8:8. The centurion asked for the servant to be healed. And Jesus said it would be done for him. And he was healed within the hour. Matthew 8:14. Jesus goes and touches Peter's mother-in-law. And it says that the fever was immediately gone from her body. I was a senior in college when this happened, and it was the fall part of our semester. It was still warm enough that you could go to the beach, but we were about to go into the fall, where it gets a little bit colder. And I was down there. We were enjoying the beach. We moved to this kind of restaurant road that's right between Santa Cruz and Capitola, beautiful area. We're just having a great time. I'm spending all my money that I had for the day, and my ride comes up to me and says, hey, I got to get back to class. And I said, don't worry about it, man. Go ahead. You can go. I'll get a ride. I saw some people that I knew I could get a ride with. Well, I'm over there enjoying myself, not paying attention, and my people walked out, and I had no ride to get back to the university. University was in Scotts Valley. You're talking way too far for me to walk and too hard. And so this is before people carrying pagers. There were pagers there, I mean, in around that time. But we didn't have any movers and shakers that I hung out with, so nobody had a pager. There was no email. There was no cell phones. And the only way that I could get a hold of the campus was that the businesses would let me use their phone, which none of them would let me use. And so we had these things called pay phones. Everybody remember pay phones? And I looked in my pocket. I had $2. Well, guess what, you guys? I went in to go get change for $2, and they made me buy something before they would give me change. I don't even have $2 now. And I realized that every time that I call, if I don't get somebody in the room when I call, I'm going to lose that call and I have to put another dime in. You know, the operator's not going to come back and go, oh, they weren't there. No, I just lose the call. I'm calling. I've got literally 20 cents left in my pocket. I finally go, what if I call the dining commons, the cafeteria on our campus? Somebody's going to answer there and they'll know somebody. So sure enough, they picked up, and I recognized the person. I said, hey, do you know where my buddy Clark is? He was one of my floor mates. They go, yeah, I know where he is. Let me go get him. So they go and get him. While I'm waiting, guess what? It says your call's about to end. I have to throw another dime in. I have nothing left in my pocket. I had already been down there for 3 hours trying to figure out a way to get somebody to come get me. Clark gets on the phone. Dude, please, can you come down here and pick me up? I've been down here for 3 hours. He goes, yeah, man, I'll come and get you. And I said, all right, man, and he hangs up the phone. Guys, when somebody says they're coming to get you, what do you think that's what that means? They're walking out with their keys, they're getting in their car, and they're hauling tail to come and get me. Well, I'm sitting down there, 30 minutes passes. An hour passes. An hour and a half passes. My temperature is going up, and it's not because it's hot outside. I'm getting ticked. I'm going into brat mode. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'm freaking out. Hour and a half, here he comes. He pulls up in his Jeep smiling at me. I'm not smiling. I've lost my mind. I mean, I'm rude. You know, the whole thing. I get into the car, and I'm going off on my buddy who came and got me finally. And he's just sitting there, and he's letting me do it. And I finally start realizing, dude, he could actually tell me to get out of his car. And so I shut up, but I'm steaming. And he goes, Matt, he goes, I wanted to come get you immediately. He goes, but I couldn't miss this class. I just started. And he goes, you know I've missed too many classes. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I feel like a jerk. Is everybody following me on this? Sometimes we can overreact to God's timing when it comes to our breakthrough. We are so desperate, fully engaged, believing, standing on his truth, that when it doesn't happen instantly, our reactions are not always our shiniest moments. Our fleshly response to how God moves and his timing are not always the best. Now, I want to define instant. Not dictionary. I just want to look at instant the way that I've experienced in life, okay? Guys, check this out. We just read a scripture where Abraham's servant is praying. And as he's praying, it says Rebecca came out. Remember this? So this right here, here's the definition of instant. While you are praying, it is already done. You're praying and God has moved and it is done. Here's another version of instant. You have prayed, and when you get out of your car, you're sitting in your car, you're praying in your work parking lot, and as soon as you get through praying and you step out of the door, God has moved. He's healed you. Whatever it is, whatever you prayed for, God has moved. Here's another definition of instant. You pray, you seek God, you get into his presence believing. It might be a month, it might be a year, it might be 10 years, but when God says it's time, it's time. So I'm just going to use ourselves as an illustration. We've been praying for 10 years, but I don't doubt what God has promised us. And when he says it's time, it will be instant. Is everybody following me? That's where we stand. This is what, according to God's timing, when breakthrough is supposed to happen, your breakthrough will be in an instant. The very first time you pray, he's already moving. He's already moved. The very first time you pray, he doesn't ignore the other 100 prayers. The very first time you pray, the Lord of the breakthrough responds and goes to work for us. He is laying down the foundation for your loved ones to return. He is laying down the foundation for a stronger marriage. He is laying down the foundation for your new job or promotion, for your healing, for your finances, for your deliverances. Elijah knew this. He knew that at some point the servant was going to come back with a good report. Amen? Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. I was in real estate for a couple years, and one of the years I did door knocking. Door knocking is like anybody else that if you're in a job that requires soliciting, well, in real estate, I found in the year that I was doing it, I never ran into another real estate agent doing it. And you know what, guys? I got appointments. I sold houses because of this. But you know what I learned in this is that I'm seeking. I have to go to the door and I have to make the ask. But before that, I had to knock. And here's the thing is if you look at these three words, ask, seek, and knock, they are all action words. Something that you're going to have to do. It's going to require you to move. And here's the thing is, it's being on the offense. Ask, and what does it say? You will receive. Seek, and you're going to find. Knock, and it will be open to you. I was in my office on Wednesday, and I was really concentrating on my message. I was asking the Lord to, you know, just confirm some of these things, the scriptures that I was studying and all this. And I have my Amazon Prime playing through my little Bose speaker, and I'm just in the moment, you know. And all of a sudden, I start to realize there's a song playing. Oh, and right then, it was just like the room just filled with the presence of God. Tears are starting to flow down my eyes, and I go over to my phone to see what the song is. And it's called There Is a Cloud by Elevation. And I realize that the very story that I'm telling, this song is playing. And I want you to look at these lyrics real quick, you guys. It says this right here. Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell, for the dry season is over. Somebody in this room needs to receive that right now. There is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ opened the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. And it goes on to say, like a flood, like a flood. And I would just say this, let the breakthrough flow through you. Let it burst through you like water bursting through a pipe. Remember we talked last Sunday that he is the Lord of explosion. And this is what we're looking at. If you are like Elijah, looking to see a dry season end in your life, there is a cloud. And it is beginning to swell. Go look and then get up and go look again. Come back and get back on your knees if you haven't seen anything. Begin to pray again. Go back and look again. If you still don't see it, go back to your place of prayer. Pray again. Go back and look, because at some point, you're going to see a small cloud rising and it's going to bring a great rain. And that rain is about to fall in the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Lastly, we have Jesus in the tomb, Moses in the bush, Elijah in the cloud, and Jesus in the tomb. 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, and this is Paul speaking. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. This wasn't how the disciples were thinking it was going to end with Jesus. I promise you, this is not what they were thinking. They're looking at a triumphant Messiah. They're looking at a man that just rode in on a donkey, and the entire city of Jerusalem was celebrating him. They did not see or foresee him getting thorns pounded into his forehead and head. They didn't see him getting whipped and flesh flying everywhere. They didn't see him going up on the cross. And literally, they could, once he was on the cross, they're still probably thinking he's going to come down. He's going to overtake the Romans. He's going to overtake the government of Jerusalem. He is our Messiah. They did not see him dying. And they for sure weren't imagining that they would ever have to place the Messiah in a tomb. God understood. The Holy Spirit understood. Jesus understood that his resurrection, his coming out of the tomb, would set this world on fire. Everybody say immediately. Immediately. When Jesus set his foot outside the tomb, everything changed instantly. And here's some truths. Breakthrough is just on the other side. Okay? You're standing, remember I talked about your breakthrough could be this close. It's a wall, it's a ceiling, it's a mountain. It's maybe somebody that's in your sphere of influence. It's a negative influence on your life. It is literally on the other side. Breakthrough will always require faith. Guys, I was in between my sophomore and junior year, or my junior year and senior year, sorry, in high school. I had gone to the good old Assemblies of God church camp, okay? It was my last one I was going to get to go to. It was in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I'm there, and I'm having a good time, and we were playing a basketball game, and I bust my right ankle. I mean, horribly. And they take me to the hospital there in Hot Springs, and it was so swollen that the guy goes, I'm pretty sure I see a hairline fracture in there. And he goes, but it's so swollen, you need to go back and get an MRI. So I'm discouraged. I'm sitting there. You know, tears just start coming down my eyes because I had been invited to a basketball camp at the University of Central Arkansas, and I was not going to be able to go now. So I'm struggling. The counselor's there. He's praying with me, and I'm bummed out. We go back. Oh, no, they put a soft cast on my ankle. Anybody ever had a soft cast? It just kind of lets it swell or whatever, but anyway, I go back to the camp, and this counselor, how many of you guys know if you've ever been to camp, some of the counselors there, they are wired for speed. And this dude comes out the door, Matt, what'd they say? Oh, man, you know, my ankle, oh, that's okay, we're going to pray, okay, we're going to pray for you. I said, well, man, pray that I get healed. He goes, amen, brother, and he runs in, like, without even, like, I'm like, man, dude, that's like talking to a chihuahua, man. It was like, what in the world? And so I go crutch all the way back to my room. I go and sit on a chair in the shower. I'm in there moping and I'm pouting. And next thing I know, at some point, I just go, I actually want God to heal me tonight. I want him to heal my ankle. I am believing he's going to do it. So I go there. We go to the message. I'd missed worship, but I hear the message, and I go down to the front, and I start praying for the Lord to heal me. And I'm begging him. I'm going to be honest with you. I was begging him for maybe some fleshly reasons, but I was begging him. All of a sudden, you guys, guess what? I didn't feel my ankle throbbing anymore. And I just went, and I didn't want to like ruin it. And I just said, God, did you just heal my ankle? And I go, let me wiggle my toe. And I wiggled my toe, and I didn't feel any pain. I was like, Lord, did you just? And I do some ankle circles, and I realize that I don't feel any pain, you guys. So I stand up on my ankle, and guess what happens? The soft cast, how many of you guys remember in the 70s tube socks? Are they coming back, you know? Well, anyway, you wore them all the way up here, and you'd wear these really short shorts, and then you had these tube socks that went up to here. Well, what happened with the tube socks was as they got old and they lost their elasticity, they'd fall. And then you just have these big, well, anyway, I literally, it looked like a tube sock had gone down because my ankle, the swelling was completely gone. Listen to this, you guys. I pulled up my pants, and I had bruising all the way up my calf. My ankle was solid purple, but it was this small. There was no swelling. I ran around that conference center. I ran so hard, jumping, shouting the name of Jesus, because he had instantly changed my atmosphere, my circumstance. I had healing, and I knew it was from him. Just minutes earlier, Lazarus is lying dead in a tomb until Jesus called him out. Just minutes earlier, Moses was stuck in a dead-end life, and God comes and talks to him through a bush. Saul was a persecutor. The walls of Jericho stood high. The woman was hopeless and 12 years bleeding just minutes earlier. David was just another teenager, and Mary was just another girl. But the resurrection of Jesus has changed everything for us. I want you to catch what I'm about to read here. I want you to catch this, and I'm making sure I'm going to read this slow. The God of the breakthrough, remember who I just said, the God of the breakthrough came out of the tomb and broke through everything so that we might know him, know his Father, and his Holy Spirit. The God of the breakthrough himself came out. He broke through so that we might know him, that we could have eternal life, that we could experience true love in its pure form. Thank you, Jesus, for the instant, eternal impact that you have had on all of our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for the breakthroughs that are coming in 2021. And thank you, Lord of the breakthrough, for even now that you are bringing change to our circumstances. You're sitting there right now. You're not even praying. You're just thinking. You know what you're asking for, and God is already moving, and he's bringing change. I want to go into the closing. So, worship team, if you want to come on up. Can we give our worship team a hand? They just amazing this morning. Okay, so we're in Revelation. I promise I'm not going to go much longer. Revelation 1, 17 and 18, and this is what it says. When I saw him, and this is John talking, I fell at his feet as though dead. You know what? I didn't say this morning, but I'm going to say it now. Earlier service, I'm going to say it now. I don't know if you guys have ever, and I'm not talking about being slain in the spirit, have ever experienced the presence of God so heavy that you just couldn't take it anymore. I was in a prayer meeting in Northern California, and I was asking the presence of God to follow me. Well, before I knew it, 20 minutes in, his presence is getting heavier and heavier and heavier to where I literally said with my mouth, God, I can't handle any more of it. John is going through this right now. He's in the presence of Jesus. He fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And look at this. I have the keys of death and Hades. Okay, stick with me here. In the Greek, verse 18, dealing with that portion of the scripture where it says, I have, is the word echo. Now just say echo. It's easier. Unless you want to clear your throat, then you can try the other one. But guys, in that definition is to have. Jesus is saying, I have, I'm holding them, I possess them, but this is what I love right here. It also says it's the sense of wearing. I've seen pictures painted of Jesus with the keys, and I can only imagine, is he wearing it on his waist? Has he got it on his neck? Is he wearing the key on his wrist? But it doesn't matter to me because what I love about it in the scriptures, why it says the sense of wearing, it's like he's standing over Satan going, if you want the keys back, come and get them. Just try and come and get them because I've ended it. The greatest breakthrough in the history of our universe was Jesus going and conquering death and hell. There is nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear anymore because of what he did. Think about the power that is at work when you begin to pray to get God involved in your breakthrough. His presence, his promise, and his authority. Do not let anything, everybody say anything, keep you from experiencing your breakthrough. Breakthrough is a powerful moment. They're not easily forgotten. And the enemy knows that with every breakthrough, it creates a stronger believer. Building the kingdom of God. Parker, why don't you come and join me, man? We're just going to bow our heads and listen, we're going to take communion here in a second, and then we're going to worship together. But let's just close our eyes here. Father, I don't even want to beat around the bush with this. I'm just going to say it. If any of you in this room are needing breakthrough in your life for whatever reason, without hesitation, just stand where you are. I'm not going to make you come down. Just stand where you are. Right now, no hesitation. The Lord has spoken to you. You're going to stand in faith, and we're going to do this together. I'm standing with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have stood. You have already been at work, dear Lord. And I thank you for their faith, for their courage to stand. And Lord, you know exactly what they're going through. You know if they're in a place of dryness. You know in a place if they've settled. You know if these things are good, but they're just wanting more of you. You know exactly what's going on. And I'm asking you, Lord, that as they stand right there, that you begin to work, that you begin to speak to them. If you're standing, just lift your hands to him. Lord, as they lift their hands to you, I pray that you anoint them from the tips of their fingers to the tops of their heads to the soles of their feet, that wherever they go, what they might speak, what they might see, what they might hear, what they might touch, what they might feel will be anointed by your Holy Spirit, moving for them and breakthrough in 2021. Some are going to walk out of here and you've already completed it. I'm believing, I stand with them, God, and we believe that you are going to move on our behalf. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. All of you standing, just say with your mouth, say Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus, I declare my breakthrough. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, as we get ready to take this communion, Lord, I just pray that as we remember, Lord, that you are going to speak to us, that you're going to touch our hearts, and we thank you for your presence today. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.
Ushers, if you could start giving out the communion. This is one of my favorite times of service. And normally, I know when we take communion, it's probably somber. And yes, there is a gravitas to this thing that we call communion, the Eucharist, remembering the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you that as Pastor was talking this morning, Moses, he made covenant and partnered with God. Elijah partnered and made covenant with God. Jesus partnered and covenanted with God. And this morning, this reminds us that we partnered and covenanted with God. Breakthrough, it's about partnering and covenant with God. So I want your heart and your mind to be in this moment. Yes, it's a somber moment, the blood that was shed for us. But it's a triumphant moment because we remember this is why we have breakthrough. It's the cross. It was that defining moment. So in the next few minutes, I want you to make an exchange in your heart with heaven, saying, I have covenant rights. That when I say, God, I have this need, I am a believer. I remember the blood of Jesus. Make that heaven transaction. So go ahead and take that bread. You remember that night, Jesus gathered the disciples to gather around him, and he broke the bread. Go ahead and break that bread. And he said, this is my body broken for you. We're going to take this right now. Partake. Thank you, Jesus. He went ahead and he took the cup. Now, this is the cup of suffering. There's not breakthrough without suffering. So, beloved, remember the suffering of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that frees us of our sins. He took the cup and he said, this represents my blood that is shed for you for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Beloved church, go ahead and partake of the blood. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Abba, right now that you sent your only son, your beloved son, for the remission of our sins. We thank you, Jesus, right now that we can have breakthrough. Father, as we partnered with you and made covenant, we believe that you are the God of promise, that you are the God of breakthrough. So this morning we decree, we declare that you are the God of breakthrough. Do you believe that, church? As you partook of communion, that he is the God of the breakthrough. Let's sing this and decree it this morning, church.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. We just thank you, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. We love you and give you all thanks and praise. You guys enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. Breakthrough in 2021. Amen.